It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using #ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. In honor of February's Heart Health Month, I've invited cardiologist and American Heart Association spokesperson, Dr. Richard Stein, to answer your heart health questions. Dr. Stein is a cardiologist at New York University's Langone Medical Center. Dr. Stein, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Let's just jump right into one of our first questions, and that is high cholesterol. They asked, how does high cholesterol affect my risk of heart disease?
Well, cholesterol in general, which mostly is a type of cholesterol we call LDL or so-called bad cholesterol, if it's elevated, it's a significant risk factor for developing coronary disease. So a high LDL or bad cholesterol, which usually is what you find with a high total cholesterol, does indeed increase your risk of having a heart attack over time.
Okay, and that's exactly important to remember. Bad cholesterol is LDL, HDL is the good cholesterol. So speaking of that, what are some foods that can bring down one's likelihood of having a heart attack or stroke?
So, you know, there are obviously two groups of things that we think about. One are what medications we can give you, and two are what lifestyle changes you can make. We can treat your blood pressure. We can, to some extent, modify the risk of diabetes with medications, and we can clearly lower your cholesterol with medications in the family of drugs we call statins. Lifestyle, which is a equally important factor, is we can have you do regular physical activity 3 or more times a week for 40 minutes, and that can be walking, can be broken down into, you know, 3 15-minute brisk walks. And clearly not smoking is a major issue. And eating a diet that's rich in fruits and vegetables and lower in fats is going to be a big help.
Okay. So especially as diet, you know, fruits and vegetables, lower saturated fat and things like that.
Yes.
That's great to know. Now, one of our readers had sent in saying, does birth control make me more likely to have a heart attack?
So it's very interesting. Birth control slightly increases the risk, but it's really a very tiny risk. When it gets to be an important risk is when you're also a smoker taking birth control pills. And then the number sort of jumps up a little, so we pay attention to it.
Okay, which is why they advise women, if they are smoking, to talk to their doctor before starting birth control.
Yes.
Okay. Now, and one of our readers had asked, you know, are there any natural supplements that can help my heart health?
So I feel terrible to say this, but the answer is essentially no. CoQ10, vitamin C, all of those things which people sort of love to tell you are, we really have no good random control studies that show that they help. And most of the studies, the people who were not taking them, do absolutely as well as the people taking care of them. There's not much evidence that they can do you harm, but there's very little evidence that they can do you well. Now, the only exception to that, obviously, is having a small drink of alcohol, usually as a wine, several times a week, one glass, seems to be associated with a reduced risk of cardiovascular death. I'm not sure that's a supplement, but it is a substance. So we obviously, if you drink too much, you're going to raise your blood pressure, and then you're going to move into increasing your risk of blood pressure. But, you know, a small glass of wine every day is probably acceptable.
You make a really good point. It's not just as much as wine is protective. It's that small one glass of wine a day is protective,
yeah.
But beyond that, then it becomes a higher risk, and so you should be careful.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we'll let you pass that one off as a natural supplement. That's okay. And it's also important for people to know that to watch if they are taking supplements that it's not interacting with one of their medications. That always worries me.
Absolutely. Also, as you've seen in the newspaper these days, many of the supplements you buy at very reputable stores contain nothing. They contain rice. They contain starch. You're not even getting the ingredients you're paying for. Much less it wouldn't help you if you were.
It's not helping you, and you're wasting money. So it's a two-punch hit there, I think. Thank you. That's a really great point to make as well for people to pay attention to. Now, one of our readers said, you know, my father had heart disease and my mother has high cholesterol. What precautions should I take for my health care?
So a father with heart disease below the age of 65 and a mother with heart disease with that high cholesterol sort of, you know, tells you you have a some chance of having a genetic increase in likelihood of having a high cholesterol. And the risk factors for dying are parents, fathers of heart attack below 55, mothers below 65, seem to statistically increase your risk. Now, you can do a lot to take you out of that risk category. You can do all the good things we talked about, diet, exercise, never smoking, and you can see your physician, have your cholesterol levels measured, and it's appropriate to be started on a drug called a statin, which will reduce your cholesterol and statistically has been associated with lower incidence of heart attacks.
Okay. It's great to know. Really helpful. So another, on that, you mentioned, you know, both parents having heart attacks, and one of our viewers had said, you know, I've never had any heart problems, but both my parents died of heart attacks. Should I be taking an aspirin every day?
So the answer to that is, well, first of all, the answer to that is no. But second, it really depends on the age in terms of establishing your risk. So if you are 65 and you have enough risk factors that increase your risk, then aspirin is an appropriate drug to take. In most instances, overwhelmingly, aspirin is valuable after a heart event or after a heart attack. In general, as a preventive drug, especially in women, we use it very carefully, only if the risk is very high.
Okay. That's a really great point. Definitely if somebody's already had heart disease, but otherwise have a discussion with their doctor. It's really helpful to know. I know a lot of people ask about that. Switching to something
if you go into the drugstore, you're going to see all the aspirin has a heart on it.
Yes, it's true. Marketing. So.
Yes, it is.
Okay, in our last, 90 seconds, I've been hearing a lot in the news. There was that study recently about marathon running and running being bad for your heart. Tell us what you think about running in general and marathon for heart strength.
Well, so this study looked at very high, multiple marathon runners who did an extraordinary amount of training and looked at their heart by a technique called magnetic resonance imaging and showed some scarring. So there's clearly an interesting concern about that. In general, people who do a lot of exercise and who run a few marathons a year but stay in training have a significantly lower risk of a heart attack.
Okay. So it's just those that have the really, really high amounts of marathon running that are going to be at higher.
Right. And we haven't seen an increase in cardiac death in that group. We've only seen an abnormal test.
So do you advise your patients that like to run to keep on going, or do you have them temper it at all?
No. Unless you have heart disease and unless I see significant problems when I run on a treadmill and look at your heart with various imaging techniques, I think exercising is probably one of the more wonderful things you can do for your life. It not only helps you keep your weight down, fights depression, and it does lower your risk.
Okay, great. So along with all those other things you had mentioned, lifestyle, exercise, and really whatever exercise you'd like to do, right?
Yep. It doesn't make, seems Wonderful. To not make a difference. You can row, ski, swim, hike,
whatever,
play basketball.
Whatever gets you active. So thank
Absolutely.
You. I appreciate it. Dr. Stein, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Really helpful for our audience. And that's all the time we have for today. I'll be back next week to answer more of your questions. And in the meantime, feel free to tweet your health questions to our Twitter at ShareCareNow using the hashtag ShareCareRadio. Your questions could get answered on the air. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.